Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Chwaba.
Ladies and gentlemen,
good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight here for Nightlight, a Wednesday edition on maybe the most beautiful day we've had in Wisconsin since last October, September. I don't know. You're probably outside still. If you are, I don't blame you, but take us with you on the app. You can download that Civic Media app, folks, and take Nightlight with you wherever you go. Or take your favorite host, Todd Alba, Jane Mattinara, Maggie Dawn. Doesn't matter. Get that app. Great to have you with me. This is, we're broadcasting. I am back home. We're broadcasting from downtown Green Bay, statewide, all over this gorgeous state of Wisconsin, wherever you might be listening from. I hope you are loving the part of the state you live in, because we live in a great state. There's a lot going on here. So much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for a great show. I've got good guests tonight. I got Conrad riding shotgun. You ready to take some text, Conrad?
Of course.
Yeah.
Always am.
Tell people how they can watch on the stream.
Yes. So on Facebook, we're under WGBW or under Nightlight with Pete Chwaba. On YouTube, we're under Civic Media. And on X or Twitter, WGBW.
Or Twix.
Twix.
If you so choose. check us out on the stream. You can watch the radio. I know that doesn't sound exciting, but we try to make it exciting. We've got the living room set here. It's lit like we're just hanging out, which is kind of what we're doing. So join us on the stream. Send us your text tonight as we barrel through the show here. Regardless of what we're talking about, I'd love to hear from you guys. Love your thoughts. Always so much fun to read your texts on the air. You're welcome to call to 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tonight on the show, I just spent like 5 or 6 days in Madison at the Wisconsin Film Festival. So much fun. There's another great film festival about to start tomorrow night. The Milwaukee Film Festival kicks off and goes for 2 weeks. We will talk to the CEO of Milwaukee Film tonight. She'll give us the lowdown on the film festival in Milwaukee. They have some great venues, great films, as always. They've really built that festival up to be something special. And Ann Reed, the CEO of Milwaukee Film, will join me at 7:35 to talk about it. And hopefully those drag racers who were just driving by will not affect the interview. What is it with, is Green Bay like the drag racing epicenter of the universe?
I have no idea, but it is crazy downtown.
Yeah, what is going on here?
I have no idea.
Oh, you're moving to Green Bay? Make sure you take your muffler off. Is that like a manly thing?
I don't know. It's like to other car owners, like, that have the same thing. It's like, my muffler's off, so is yours.
Yeah. It's really strange.
Yeah. I don't get it.
I don't get it either, but apparently I'm not man enough to take the muffler off my car like an imbecile. So that kind of interrupted my plug of Ann Reed. So Ann will be here at 7:35. Very excited to talk to her. I love the Milwaukee Film Festival. It's so much fun. And then at 8:20... this will be fun. When I was in Madison, a lot of the Wisconsin Film Festival events took place at the Barrymore Theater, beautiful old theater in the Atwood neighborhood of Madison, gorgeous facility. And they had, I was just kind of checking through their upcoming events, and they have an Elton John tribute artist called Tom Cridlin, who will be there April 18th, I believe. And I've heard some of Tom's stuff. He's great. So I talked to the theater people and I said, I got to get Tom on the show. So Steve Sperling helped me make it happen. Tom will be here tonight. We're going to hear some of Tom's music. We're going to talk to him about what it's like impersonating Elton John or making a tribute to Elton John that is so cool. And Elton John's one of my favorite artists of all time. Like the hits, like Tom has never run out of songs to play when he's touring doing his Elton John tribute show. So Tom will be here at 8:20 and Ann will be here at 7:35. In the meantime, I have to say, this has been bugging the living daylights out of me. Yesterday, I was about to head back to Green Bay. I'm starving. I go to Ian's Pizza, figuring it'll be fast. lovely establishment. I like their pizza. And I'm not just pointing the finger at this one establishment because it's become an epidemic, the tipping in this country, how people want tips for doing their jobs. And I think they're encouraged by the places that own the businesses because they don't want to pay these people. It's almost not fair to them because people are annoyed. Everyone, there's not one person I've talked to who wants to tip a cashier or someone at Starbucks who hands you your coffee. I don't, when did this happen? It's, here's what really bothers me though. Conrad, you listening?
Definitely.
You might want to take a minute. So I go in, I order two slices of pizza. I pay, I tip a dollar. Not much, but it's something. I feel bad. I feel like they're looking and then they're going to make my pizza and I don't want any funny business with my food. I don't want my food desecrated in any way. So I put a dollar on there. Then I get my food. The only table open, I have to wipe it off. Then when I'm done eating, I bust my tray. So I tipped a dollar to wipe my own table off, bust my tray. Do I get to split the tips with everybody there? Like, should I get part of that?
I think you should go back and request it back.
What the heck? I mean, they're not even, and it's like now they just expect it.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to tip anyway. Why should I have to go wipe off the table? Because you work there. I'm not a guest in your home. I'm so irritated. That's our question tonight, folks. Has tipping cashiers or drive-through attendants gotten out of hand? Do you tip these people? It can be a simple yes or no, or share a story if you have one regarding tipping. You come over, take my order, put up with my crazy requests or my family's crazy requests. I want a cheeseburger with no cheese, blah, 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 whatever. That's fine. I get it. I'll tip you. You've earned it. But I don't understand. Do you tip, Conrad? Am I off base here?
I mean, yeah, I tip. I think you're not on an island there, okay?
Okay.
I was at a game last year at Lambeau, and they have this store where there's no one in it. You just go in, and you pay for it.
Okay.
I get to the checkout, put my stuff on there. It says, do you want a tip?
You have to be joking.
I'm like, to who?
Oh my gosh.
To the system?
Can you type a message in? Like, are you being absolutely serious here? What on earth?
I don't know who the tip's
there's
going
no
to.
There's no one in there?
Yeah, there's no one in there.
I think the Packers have enough money. I don't think they need your $1.50. You're already paying an arm and a leg to be there at any professional sporting event.
And to grab anything to drink or food.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Extra like $25 right there.
That's insane. So that's tonight's question. Has tipping cashiers or drive-thru people that serve you in the drive-thru, has it gone too far? Do you tip? That's the basic question. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It drives me nuts. Let us know on the app. The app is very easy to use, folks. Download it. We're on statewide, so you can click on any station and just click the text icon. Although we're not on in some markets tonight, correct? Are there sporting events?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I believe the Brewers game is postponed, so it actually moved to the Bucks game that's going on right now.
Okay. Anything to keep people away from Nightlight, right? The Brewers are supposed to put the Bucks on. What else you got? Is there a carom? Is there a tiddlywinks event we can go to? That's pretty cool. And the Brewers are both. It's nice when your teams are both winning, right?
Yeah.
What happened with Giannis, too? You said Giannis got hurt last night, and I saw Mike Clemens update, but I didn't really follow up on it. What's going on?
He had a calf strain. He's going to be out the last three games. I believe he's going to be back for the playoffs. So
he'll be back. That's not too bad. I strained my calf walking in here today from the car, and I'm still doing the show. All right, so let us know. I love reading your texts, folks. We've got some really good ones recently. Here, I have this other story. Okay, today, Todd Michaels shares this sheet he puts out for Mino and the Mayor, and he shares these fun facts throughout, you know, history of what happened on this day, that kind of stuff, what songs were popular. And I thought this was interesting. Today is the day Sam Kinison died. And Kinison was a great stand-up comic, and This is a weird serendipitous thing that happened for me. I was working. I was a stand-up comic in 1992. One of my first big road gigs. And I was working with a guy named Ron Schock. We were sharing the comedy condo in West Palm Beach, Florida. And Ron was good friends with Sam Kinison. They were both out of Texas. And he was also friends with Brett Butler, who was friends with Sam. Well, the news came down that Sam Kinison had been killed in a car accident between LA and Vegas. I heard Ron on the phone. He was talking to Brett. Brett told him, this is total secondhand, but the story tracks because later I found out it was true. Carl LaBove, another comedian who was with Sam, driving in the car behind him, I think, with Sam's wife, and there was like four people, runs over to Sam after the car accident. Sam was still alive, and Carl started talking to Sam Kinison. And this, I'm hearing this through Ron Schock, the comedian I was sharing a condo with. He said Sam was talking to someone on the other side, like in the afterlife, supposedly. He was having a conversation. And Carl kept trying to pin him down, like saying, who are you talking to, Sam? And Sam kept saying, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And then he finally just said, okay. Okay. He said, okay, twice, then passed away. Crazy. And I didn't know Ron Schock that well. I was just the middle act working the road for the first time. Ron was kind of a comedy legend, as was Kinison. And later on the news, it came out that that exchange, they made that public. And I thought, what a cool thing. Like, Sam Kinison was like this rebel comedian who yelled and had great jokes to go along with it. And here he is, this vulnerable person about to die, and admitting he didn't want to die. Just kind of totally contradicting that rebel spirit that he had. But I thought it was so humbling. Such humility from a comedic legend. And that was on this day in 1992. So crazy. And I read that. Thank you for sharing that, Todd. That's great stuff on that sheet. And that took me back because I always had remembered that, but didn't realize it was this day. So interesting when you find out inside little tidbits about other people, especially a comedian like Sam Kinison. So, all right, when we come back, it's David Harbour's birthday too. And Jerry... we're going to relive Jerry's fart attack on Parks and Rec. You won't want to miss that. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tipping thing. It's just, it's out of control. And it is. It's a scare tactic. And this text we just got from the 608, Robert from McFarland, confirms it. He says, I feel the same as you. Out of fear that my food won't be as good, it is ridiculous. And to us good people, shames us into tipping. So that's what they're doing. They want you to think they're going to do something to your food. So you tip. And that saves Howard Schultz a few bucks. Keep those texts coming, folks. That's a good one, Robert. Thank you. 855. Get in on the conversation. We're talking tipping. Do you tip people like that work behind counters, cashiers, or that hand you coffee in a drive-thru? Are they tip-worthy? And what can we do to stop this? That's what we need to do. Conrad, take a memo.
Sounds good.
All right. Do you tip? That's the question. Let us know. Tomorrow night on the show, Ed the Diver will be here. I'm excited about that. Ed lives in the town I live in. I live in the Marinette area. Ed lives, and we'll talk about this tomorrow, but he lives in a house that is right across the street from the house that I grew up in for the second part of my childhood when I moved to Marinette. We had some crazy wiffle games in that yard. It was a big yard. Ed lives across the street, and he's like this big celebrity now. He cleans up the waters of Wisconsin. He dives. He finds fun, cool stuff underneath and shares it with people on his YouTube channel. So Ed will be here for a little discussion about Marinette and what he finds at the depths of our rivers. Maybe you want to know, maybe you don't, but that'll be fun tomorrow night. That's at 7:35. Here's on the stream I was watching on Facebook, Bob Thomas, tipping. Last time we stayed in a hotel, the bellhop brought our suitcase to the room and then awkwardly just stood there in the room. My wife nudged me and said, I think he's expecting a tip. I said, okay, looked at him and said, plant your corn early. Bob. He said, not really. That was just a joke I heard years ago on the Beverly Hillbillies. That is, listen, I'd rather, Bob, I wish I had said that to the people at the pizza place rather than actually giving them a dollar that I'll never get back. And then having to bust my own tray and wipe down. That bothers me more every time I say it. Wipe down my own table so I have a clean place to sit. But let us know what you think. Do you tip? Counter help. Drive-through people. People that aren't really doing that much and should be paid handsomely by the people. If you can't afford to pay employees a living wage, you shouldn't be in business. Don't shake down your clientele for extra money because you don't want to pay your employees. I know the owners of Starbucks are doing okay. That's tonight's question. Do you tip? 855-752-4842. Let us know. Or you can hit us up in the stream. So, all right. So I do these Hollywood minutes, and I just did some for tomorrow. Jim, what is his name, Conrad? Jim O'Hare, right? Yeah, from Parks and Rec.
Yep.
So he plays Jerry Gergich. Gergich. He plays Jerry on Parks and Rec. He's got a new book out about the show. Apparently, it was a really pleasurable experience for him. He said the cast and the crew were amazing, and he documented this in a book that he wrote called Pawnee, Stories of Friendship, Waffles, and Parks and Recreation. He's 62 years old. He read for the role of Ron Swanson, did not get it, but he ended up playing Jerry Gergich. So he wrote this book because he had such a great experience on the show. And he had a lot of other credits before he was on Parks and Rec, but apparently he just loved Parks and Rec. The show ran from 2009 to 2015. He has a very memorable scene on the show where two characters decide they're going to scare him coming out of the bathroom, and he ends up having a heart attack. And here is that scene right now.
Let's have fun. It's Halloween. You love Halloween. Hey, I know it would cheer you up. Let's go wait outside the bathroom for Tom and scare him.
That would cheer me up.
Okay. Ready and...
No!
Jerry! God, gross.
Oh.
Jerry!
Guys, I...
Oh, God. Oh, I think he might be having a heart attack.
What? Are you serious? Oh, so much stuff is happening right now.
Call 911. Okay. Just breathe, okay? You're gonna be fine.
No, jeez, did a dinosaur just fart? Jerry, get a grip.
Sorry, guys.
Apology not accepted.
Stop talking, moron.
I wish I could stop smelling.
Dude.
Seriously, Jerry, did you eat farts for lunch?
Tom! Jerry's having a heart attack.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Jerry, you okay?
All right, I have to go on record here and say I don't typically like fart jokes. I think they're easy. And I, but that scene, he does a really great job there. He gets all panicky and he has a heart attack, and apparently that can happen. And he's kind of slinking down the doorway while he's passing gas the entire time. Very funny scene. So for those of you who are Parks and Rec fans, that was for you. Pick up the book. It's by Jim O'Hare, Pawnee, Stories of Friendship, Waffles, and Parks and Recreation. I did not watch Parks and Recreation enough to get the waffles. Conrad, you were a fan though, right?
No, actually, I've seen a couple episodes here and there.
Okay. So, but you were, The Office is your new...
That's what I'm watching right now, yes.
The Office. How's that going for you?
I just got introduced to Holly, the new HR.
So you're like at season... Six, maybe, or five?
Five, yep.
Whoa, you are jamming through there. Is your place like a mess right now? You haven't done laundry in weeks because you're so into The Office?
It's just on the TV all the time.
Yeah, you can do worse. It's a very addictive show.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Very funny. So here, what do we do here? You know what we have to do? It was John Ratzenberger's birthday this, how many Ratzenberger clips do we have? That's Cliff from Cheers.
Oh, yeah, we have two of them.
We have two.
And there's one that we could play.
All right, let's play. This is it was John Ratzenberger's birthday. He plays Cliff on Cheers. Very iconic character from American sitcoms. Let's roll with one of our Ratzenberger clips.
So what's going on here, Norm? You've been looking for months, and Diane goes out there, snags a job in a couple of weeks.
Well, it's easier for girls. I think if God had made me a woman, I'd never be out of work.
Oh, yeah, as long as they're carnivals. Drinks are on me. I got my raise. Hey, how you know me?
Congratulations, Cliff.
Thank you. Hot nam. Nami. I know you're a proud guy, Norm, but you've been out of work a long time, and I feel I've got to at least try to share my good fortune with you. So, I know what your answer's gonna be to this, but would you please allow me to loan you $500?
Sure.
Beg your pardon?
Sure, I'd love it. How soon can I get it?
Yeah. You know, Norm, my greatest fear was that you'd say no because you'd be afraid it'd hurt our relationship.
Can I get it in cash?
Sure. Yeah, sure. I guess our friendship's pretty solid, huh? Yeah, I mean, we're the kind of guys who knows what the other guy's going to say before he even says it, huh? Yeah, I was wrong this time.
Cliff and Norm, the dynamic duo from Cheers, probably in my top five favorite sitcoms of all time. I go through a rotation at night. Sometimes I do Friends, Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry Sanders. Great stuff from Cheers there. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk Milwaukee Film Festival with CEO of Milwaukee Film, Ann Reed. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Our question tonight is, do you tip? Do you tip cashiers or drive-through attendants? This is nothing. This is not meant to denigrate any of those people who are working hard. It's more on the management for allowing that. Let us know. We got some great texts I will read after we talk to our next guest. Do you tip? I think it's out of hand. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. All right. Tom Cridlin is coming up in the second hour. He is an Elton John tribute artist. Very excited to talk to him. And I'm even more excited because my next guest is up right now. And her name is Ann Reed. She is the CEO of Milwaukee Film. And she joins Nightlight now to talk about the Milwaukee Film Festival. Hi, Ann.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Ann, do you tip? Do you tip a cashier?
I missed the beginning of the conversation, so I'm going to let that one go.
Oh, that's very diplomatic of you. Okay. So I appreciate you taking some time out. I know you guys are in the throes of getting the film festival ready for tomorrow night, right? It opens tomorrow night?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And before we jump into a little bit of film festival talk, you had a celebration of women in the month of March for Milwaukee Film. How did that go?
Oh, it was wonderful. So our programmers, I just love the approaches they take to different things. So we do year-round programming as well as the festival here at the Oriental Theater in Milwaukee. And what they chose for Women's History Month was five fairly prominent women directors. And then they went back and found the first film of each one of them. So it was sort of a history of each of those women in the context of Women's History Month. It was super cool.
Oh, that's great. All right. So can you give us, I have to say, at the beginning of the show, I was talking about how I just spent 5 days at the Wisconsin Film Festival. I have a TV gig too. I represent them at the festival and I got to see great movies, great Q&As. And we are very spoiled in Wisconsin because we have several great film festivals, but I think Wisconsin and Milwaukee are just two of the best. Can you give us a brief overview of this year's Milwaukee Film Festival?
We can. We're so proud of what we're able to put on starting tomorrow night. It's a 2-week festival, actually one of the longest in the country.
Yeah.
And we will have total 301 films from 61 different countries playing across 4 theaters across the Milwaukee area over that time. I have a friend who's personally planning to see 55 films during the time. It's incredibly expensive.
Now, can you buy a festival pass? I assume like a guy like that who's going to make it his full-time job to watch movies over the next 2 weeks, can he get or can visitors?
That's by far the most economic choice for somebody like that is to get an all-access pass. And then there are all sorts of other ways to do it too. You can buy ticket packages. You can buy individual tickets. We really want to make it something that's accessible at whatever level you want to engage, because there's definitely something for everyone in the festival.
Yeah, for sure. I was just looking at your guide a few minutes ago. You mentioned that the festival runs for 2 weeks. A lot of film festivals go several days or a week. I like the Milwaukee approach a lot. I feel like it's not as frantic. Like people can kind of take their time. Can you talk about the method behind that, having 2 weeks?
Well, it's really the way to go. A huge part of our mission is just the variety of film and really getting across to the world the incredible the different things that film can represent. Any story can be told through film. Any audience can be touched by film. And it's a big part of our mission to try to really capture that. And in order to do that, if you're going to show 300 films, you're going to need 2 weeks to do it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point. Hey, I love your artwork this year. Can you talk a little bit about your artwork? It's just beautiful.
Me too. I that artwork is growing on me every day. It's actually behind me right now on my own Facebook picture, a piece of it. So we asked the artist to really try to capture the lightness of this, the joy of it. I'm actually right now looking at the poster.
Yeah.
The background of it is the carpet pattern from the Downer Theater, which we have just recently reopened in Milwaukee, Wisconsin's oldest theater. The little stars are also, that comes from the front of the kiosk on the Downer. There are images of the towers of the Oriental Theater, which we already operate. And then just so many different motifs. There's popcorn in there. It you can find almost anything in it. The colors are beautiful. I love it too.
What? How did you guys using the Downer this year? Can you talk a little bit about that process? How you brought it back for the festival?
Sure, and then beyond. So the Downer is, as I said, Wisconsin's oldest operating cinema.
I did not know
it
that.
It closed in September. And it has been a journey to decide whether it was something that was going to be possible for us to do, but we have done it. So we are now, it's a rental arrangement right now. We are leasing the Downer. Our plan is to open it this Friday for the festival, to continue to operate movies there through the festival, and then to continue to operate it beyond. So it will be our second year-round location after the Oriental. We could not be more proud. There's a hope of being able to purchase it, and we'll be talking to people about that opportunity. But the idea of turning those lights back on, it is really moving to us.
That's exciting. I had no idea that was the oldest movie theater in the state, too.
Isn't it amazing?
That's pretty cool. Yeah. What is the capacity in there?
There are two, we call them houses there. It's two screens, and each is roughly 250 seats.
Oh, okay. So talk about a little bit, Anne, about the other venues too, because you got the Downer. We know about the Oriental. The Oriental is so beautiful and so big, but it's a great theater. Despite the size, it's very intimate. Talk a little bit about your venues, if you would. What's your favorite?
Sure. Well, I'm a Downer neighbor myself, so it brings me personally great joy that the Downer is open again, and I'm excited to go there. I'm in the Oriental right now. We have a pre-festival event, so you can probably hear some noise in the background. So I'm standing here with just the fullness in my mind of what an incredible movie palace this is, and the way Milwaukee Film was able to restore it to its full glory. It's really inspiring to me. I wasn't involved with Milwaukee Film at the time, so I'm just experiencing that with great gratitude. And then in addition to that, we'll be holding the festival also at the Avalon and the Times on the south and west sides of Milwaukee. So we're pretty close to almost everybody in town.
Yeah.
And those are situations where the existing operators of those theaters are kind enough to let us run the festival in their theaters during the time.
Is that hard to do? like when you get a venue to shut down kind of for the festival, I mean, I'm sure they're not getting compensated in some way, but how difficult is that to navigate?
Well, I think, you know, it's just an incredible partnership. When folks are involved in film and there's the opportunity to present something of this breadth and variety and diversity that really does bring people together in our community. I hear so many stories about people who met each other in line or who discovered a film that they had never would have thought of going to because somebody else in line told them about it. When you're involved in that, the opportunity to connect your neighborhood then to that kind of work, it's not easy at all, but it's wonderful of them to do it, and we're really grateful.
Joining me on Nightlight is Milwaukee Film CEO Ann Reed. She is in the process of helping to launch the 16th annual Milwaukee Film Festival, which opens tomorrow night. What are some of the big attractions this year, Ann?
Oh, we're excited about so many things. So for myself, the film I'm most excited to see is called Selma. It's about a woman in her 90s who gets one of those scams where somebody pretends to be your grandson calling for help. And she is, in fact, scammed like that.
Oh, wow.
Most of the real life stories kind of ended there. But this woman decides to get revenge. And they say it's a bit like Mission Impossible, but with a 90-something-year-old star. And it's supposed to be funny. And I absolutely can't wait to see it. So that's going to be a great one. We are opening night tomorrow night it's a documentary called Sherry and Lamb Chop. And it's about the performer Sherry Lewis and her puppet Lamb Chop. I'm old enough to have watched Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop in their original children's program when right. I was a kid. They came back later for others, and that's going to be a really neat film.
Are there people there for Q&As after for either one of those?
Very often. The director of Sherry and Lamb Chop is here, and we'll be doing Q&A. And with a ton of movies all throughout, we'll be doing Q&A and presentations with the producers and directors of these films. We also have panel discussions over the weekends on several topics. And so it's not just watching films. It's really going deep.
I love you guys on your website. You have a great feature. It's called I don't know what it's called. You have like an alert saying, get your tickets now. These are selling fast.
Mm-hmm.
How can people, you might as well say it on the air. Are there movies right now people should really look at if they want to see something? I know Corridor is on there.
Thelma. No, I think things are still pretty open.
Okay.
That place on the website is ready when needed, but individual tickets just went on sale the other day. So I think if people come in to mkefilm.org fairly soon, there should be a lot of ability to see things.
If you could see, if someone said, I can only see one film, what would you tell them to see?
Oh, gosh. The beautiful thing is that each person is different. And so I think what I would say is, there's a page on our website, mkefilm.org, that talks about we've categorized them into groups. So there's a whole set of movies with really inspiring sports stories. There's a whole set of movies that we know are going to be great for kids. There's a whole set, and that helps narrow it down for you. And I would go from there. I will tell you the movie that I will not miss, because when I heard the trailer, I knew I had to see it. There's a documentary about the singer Joan Baez. And the trailer starts with just the note of her inimitable voice. And the minute I heard it, I said, I have to see that.
That's great. Okay, so where can people find out more information? You got us here. Tell people who are listening where they can get tickets and where they can find out more information.
Sure. mkefilm.org. In the upper left-hand corner of the website, there's a button for MFF 2024. That will take you to all festival information. What I would ask is, please give our website some time. It's getting a bunch of traffic, and when you click on, like, this film I want to get tickets or this film I want to get tickets, for a second you'll think they're not available, and it's just that so many people are coming in too. So give our website some patience, but it's mkefilm.org.
And when you're running a big film festival like this, how do you differentiate it from other film festivals, whether they're just in the state or nationally or even in the world? Does Milwaukee have a theme or a brand, and how did you guys get there?
No, I'll give you two answers to that. It's a great question. First of all, I don't think you need to. Film festivals are amazing. The ones we actually have many people who come to our festival and also go to Sundance and also go to Telluride and also go to Palm Springs. They just love festivals. And this is an amazing one, and it's here. And we don't have to show the world that we're better than some other festival. We're just putting on an amazing festival, and people come for that reason. But the other thing I would say is that while many festivals do focus quite a bit, the key to ours is its breadth and variety. We really focus on film. The multiplicity of film is amazing. You don't really experience that out in the world. It sometimes seems like all the films at the multiplexes are superhero movies, right?
Yeah.
And so to remind the world of the full breadth of this art form and what it can produce and the way it can touch us, that's what we're about.
That's a great answer. And what about, like, in terms of people coming to the festival for Q&As or personal appearances, what are you excited about there?
Oh, gosh, all of them. I'm very excited to hear about Sharon Lambchop. There is a pair of filmmakers who made actually a music video about the singer Willie Nelson, and they have the most amazing, they use the song On the Road Again for an Instagram reel coming here, where they carry around a cardboard Willie Nelson. I want to hear them.
Oh, that is fun.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious.
That is so great. We'll have a couple more minutes with Anne, then we need to let her get back. That's coming up next. I'm going to find out what Anne is watching on TV, binge or cringe watching. That's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. My guest is Anne Reed. She is the CEO of Milwaukee Film. I just sound like I've been eating gravel during the break. Anne, so thank you again so much for your time tonight. I know you're probably running around frantic. Can you tell us about Anselm? Is that 3D?
Oh, gosh, I cannot rattle that off. It's an amazing art picture. I've seen the trailer for it, and it looks super, super powerful. I was talking about the categorizations of the different films that we have, and there's a whole section about art, and this falls in that category. I'm so sorry I can't rattle off the 3D part.
Oh, that's okay. What about Anvil Orchestra? That sounds really cool. Vermont-based Anvil Orchestra. Tell us about that.
There's a music series as well with that. I think Joan Baez is in that one. There's a guy here in Milwaukee who has taught the stand-up bass for many years, and that film goes into all of his alumni and what's happened to them and sort of the impact that he's had, and then that orchestra one, that's an amazing series.
And what about Black Lens? That looks really cool too.
We're so proud of our Black Lens programming. Marquis Mays, our Black Lens programmer, Diva Motley does a lot of work with that. Just really featuring and highlighting and elevating the voices of Black filmmakers, Black producers, and just getting that work out there. It's remarkable. It's part of a group of three programs that we have. Black Lens, Cine Scene from Terrasque, concentrates on Hispanic filmmakers and Hispanic voices. And then Genre Queer focuses on the LGBTQ+ community. And each of those three areas is programmed by people who are really good at finding those voices, not just for audiences who might necessarily be from the group that we're highlighting, but also for other folks to connect with those voices. We're really proud of those. Black Lens is in its 10th year this year.
Oh, nice. Okay, and then Cream City Cinema. We have some great local filmmakers in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee specifically. Can you tell us a little bit about Cream City?
Absolutely. So Cream City is a program of filmmakers from here. It was a blast for our team to program. We do, separately from the festival itself, we do work around filmmaker support. So we have mentoring programs. We have an awards program in the fall. Some of those Cream City filmmakers are alumni of our of those programs. Nice. And just to help Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin understand, film happens here. It doesn't, you don't have to be in Hollywood to have there be right. a vibrant film community. And some of these films are going to be amazing.
Now, we have great filmmakers here in Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Picture Show looks cool, too. That's April 18th yes. at 6:30 p.m. at the Oriental. Great stuff. Well, this all looks great. And I agree with you, now more than ever, if you're tired of going to movies at the big megaplexes, where it seems like, to me, it's like everything I go to see there typically, I feel like I've seen before. That is not the case with film festivals. So definitely check
not
out the Milwaukee.
At all.
yeah. So definitely, if you're listening, check out the Milwaukee Film Festival. You can get tickets at mkefilm.org. Click on the upper left and be patient with the website. And what are your favorite kind of movies?
You know, I don't know why I like heist movies so much.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I could watch The Sting or Ocean's 11. Partly because I know it's going to come out okay.
But yeah.
Or I think of Apollo 13 as a bit of a heist movie. It's a group of people trying to make an impossible thing happen, and they succeed. I like that stuff.
I love this. Sting is in my top five all time. That's one of my. I could watch mm-hmm. that repeatedly,
over and over.
And last question for you, Anne. What are you binge or cringe watching now that you could share with the group?
You know, it's just what you said a minute ago. I have gotten, as now that film is my day job, super interested into what are those things that we want to watch whenever they're on. Like if I just watched My Cousin Vinny the other night, why do I want to watch it again? I love paying attention to the things that I really could watch almost endlessly.
It's like comfort food, right? I mean, you just mm-hmm. put it on and it's in the background. You can kind of be on your phone and you can tune in for the parts you really like. That's the beautiful thing about movies and TV to me. So, but I'm biased.
Exactly right.
Anne, thank you so much for your time tonight. I wish you luck with this year's festival. And don't be a stranger. Keep us posted on what's up at Milwaukee Film.
This has really been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You got it. Have fun. Get some rest. All right. That's Anne Reed. She's the CEO of Milwaukee Film. For more information on the Milwaukee Film Festival, the 16th annual Milwaukee Film Festival, go to mkefilm.org. I had a great time there. I had a movie there in probably 2007, 2008. And it was, even back then, it was very well run. They were like a well-oiled machine. Jonathan Jackson had them really jamming. But as I understand it now, I've been there a couple times since to see friends films. And it is just, it's become this really great film festival, even better than it was, because they really know their stuff there. It's, they show great films. It's very well organized. I highly recommend, if you're listening, get some tickets. If you're in the Milwaukee area, and go check out the Milwaukee Film Festival, which opens tomorrow night. Conrad, are we going?
I think we might have to make a road trip.
We might have to make a road trip. We'll see. I don't know. No promises.
Well, that
we'll
means
see.
You have to stay in a hotel again.
I know. And I'm not ready for that. I need a break. All right. So our question tonight, we've been having fun with this one, is do you tip? And I don't mean do you tip a wait staff that really has earned it and has waited on you at your table and brought you food and repeatedly checked in on you and brought you drinks. I'm talking about drive-through attendants and cashiers. Do you tip them? Should we not tip them? Should we start a movement here on Nightlight? Because this is getting out of hand. I talked about yesterday, I was at a pizza place in Madison. Tip the cashier a dollar. I had to go over and wipe my own table off to have a place to sit after I just tipped. And then I took my tray and bussed it when I was done. And I tipped them. What is happening here? Why are places doing this? The owners of Starbucks have more than enough money to pay their employees a living wage. I know they do because I pay $5 for a cup of coffee there. My daughter could buy a summer home with what she spent on pink drinks over the last 5 years. So we've got some we'll read the text next. We got some great ones. We'll read those next. And at 8:20, folks, just around the corner, This will be really fun. We've got an Elton John tribute artist. Tom Cridlin will be here. He's going to join us. He is playing in Madison at the Barrymore Theater on April 18th. And you can still get tickets for that. It's a great show, a great venue. Tom will be along at 8:20. We'll read your text next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.